Welcome to our podcast. It's a privilege again to be able to speak into your life. And I just pray that your heart would be open and prepared to receive a word of encouragement, refreshment, and guidance. God bless you. Today I want to talk about being surprised by joy. The word surprise. I just want to read you an inspiring dictionary definition of the word surprise. Something that makes a strong impression because it is so unexpected. Synonyms: bombshell, jaw-dropper, jolt, stunner. Related words: shock, thunderclap, eye-opener, revelation, amazement, marvel, kick, twist, wrinkle, bolt from the blue. Being strongly impressed by something unexpected or unusual. Amazement, astonishment, shock, stupefaction, awe, wonder, bewilderment, confusion, consternation, dismay, ambushment, surprise. C.S. Lewis spoke the words and wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. But the same author in his Chronicles of Narnia used a beautiful line I've never forgotten. For those in Narnia, for an extended period, it had always been winter and never Christmas. Sometimes you go through winter seasons in your life and the mundane of your life can just rise up and overwhelm you. But I want to encourage you this morning that we're coming into a new season, even before this year is over and the new one dawns, where we are going to be surprised by an ingenious God who is always at work. Even when you can't expect anymore or hope anymore or believe anymore, he's still at work. He's still at work. And we're going to take a look at a text this morning, and we're going to speak for a few minutes of donkeys and destiny. I've got an interesting theme. We're going to talk about the first king of Israel, Saul, today, and it's difficult because Saul's life does not end well, but it starts well. And so I'm going to select just a few principles out of the life of Saul, and we're simply going to look at how God works, because I believe with all my heart that those of you under the sound of my voice, many of you have been chasing donkeys for a long time. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, let me give you a text. Let me read you a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 9, the scripture says, there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, and he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly young man. And there was no one among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. And the asses of Kish, his father, had a bunch of donkeys. And Kish comes to Saul and says, take one of your servants with you, arise and go seek the donkeys. And he passed through Ephraim, and he passed through the land of Shalisha, and they found them not. Then they went to Studio City in the land of Shalim and Des Moines. And finally, they passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us return, lest my father leave caring for the donkeys and takes thought for us. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in the city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says will surely come to pass. Let us go thither peradventure. He can show us our way. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. And the servant said to Saul again, behold, I have here a hand. He said, a fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give the man of God to tell us our way. Loved one, one morning Saul wakes up and his daddy says, we lost the donkeys, go find them. You know, sometimes in life we can just be chasing donkeys. You can be locked in the mundane 9-to-5 of your reality, and you can be walking in circles, seasons of circularity, where there doesn't appear to be anything special awaiting you. Well, let me encourage you. We've all chased some donkeys. Come on. Some of us have made asses of ourselves while chasing the donkeys in our lives. But young Saul has no idea that the journey he is on is divinely appointed by God, and that unbeknownst to him, and I would say this morning, unbeknownst to every one of you, God is at work in your life, laying a season of surprises ahead for you. Saul had no inkling. This is a guy, he didn't want to be king. There was no such paradigm in the history of Israel. Up until this time, God was their king, and he led them through judges. There was not even a pattern that you could summon up to take a look at kingship. There had been no such thing as a godly believing man who was exalted to the rank of king. So Saul has no clue that he's doing anything but looking for donkeys. And he passed we went through city after city. Have you ever just felt that Craig, you don't know my life. It's just, I'm just trying to survive and I'm just chasing donkeys all over the place. Well, what's interesting is Saul had no clue that the prophet Samuel had a word from the Lord. The Lord whispered to Samuel. Verse 15 says, "Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, 'Tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is come unto me.' And then Samuel saw Saul. The Lord said unto him, 'Behold, the man I spoke of you, this is the one who is to reign over my people.' Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate, and he said, 'Tell me, where is the seer's house?' And Samuel said to Saul, 'I'm the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And on whom is the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house?'" Whoa. You're chasing donkeys 1 minute, but God is working to divinely intersect the donkey chaser with Samuel. You have to understand, in the culture, Samuel was probably equal to the president of the United States. Everybody knew who Samuel was. Everyone knew this man. So it just so happened that that bunch of loose donkeys led them right up to Samuel's house. The search that you're on right now is leading you somewhere, and it's by the sovereign hand of God. There's no chance. Well, it just so happened, and gosh, you'd never believe it. And God, loved one, the Lord is in sovereign control of every donkey chase you've ever been on. Big doors of sovereign moves of God hang on little hinges. God uses every donkey that you're following to line your path up for a great surprise. That's the word I want to underscore today. Surprise. I was so surprised by some things that happened at our meeting last night. God has always got a surprise for you. You feel like Dorothy, "Oh, I don't think there's anything in that big black bag for me. You know, the Tin Man gets something, the Scarecrow gets a diploma. Never figured that out." "Oh, I don't think there's anything in that big black bag for me." Well, guess what? Saul has a young man with him, and thank God for the people God brings into our life. Saul says, "Hey, let's give up this search. We're just following a bunch of donkeys." And the young man said, "Well, the man of God, we just so happened to be right in front of the man of God's house. Why don't we go ask him what's going on?" He goes, "Okay." So they take a little offering. Nothing wrong with that. I'm a Bible man myself. Now, keep in mind, Saul has no idea that he's called to be a king of anything. There's never been a king. Did you know we're moving into a time where your paradigm will shift because there's no way to get a mental picture of something that has not yet existed? I believe we're on the brink of the greatest outpouring of God in human history, but it's unlike anything. You can't even point to Pentecost and say, "Well, it's kind of sort of like that." No. No, it's never been done. And we have a perfect image here with Saul to... If you said king, he would have gone, "Huh? King of what? God's the king." Yeah, that's right. Other nations have kings that lead them in and out, but we've never had a believing. Can you imagine a king that's he's orthodox in his theology and he's serving the right God and he believes the right things about everything? That had never happened before. And I believe God is going to do some things in the world that have never yet happened. So while you're chasing your donkeys and you're doing your 9 to 5 and you're just taking the next right step, know, loved one, know that God is sovereignly guiding your path. He did not understand when he's falling those donkeys. He's walking right into his destiny. He's going to be surprised. God can still surprise you. You say, I'm too old. I've seen everything. No. He still has a surprise for you. He still has stuff that'll make you go, whoa. Now, maybe there's nothing new under the sun to you, but I promise you, he is a God who will make your donkey chasing lead you right into your destiny. Following donkeys. Did you know God is just a master at allowing us to stumble into our destiny? And thank God, God can get me where he wants me to be without my help. Someone say amen to that. God, no, God's in charge. Just, he's got this. Relax about it. Relax. I just don't know. And maybe God won't come through and I'm going to bite all my toenails off too. And I'm that. One day we just come to the place where we surrender in sovereignty because our donkey chasing is about all that is in our power. You're looking for donkey poop. They're looking for donkey marks. Is that a hoof mark? Where is it? It's quite, they need one of those trackers, you know. It went west. He was a Spanish-speaking donkey with a bad left eye. I don't know how they know all this, but Saul's just running in circles. And I love the Bible even mentions the cities and districts they went through. You've just been through so many things in your life. You say, Craig, you have no idea where the donkeys in my life had led me. But guess what? They're going to lead you right up to a place of surprise. They just so happen to wind up. Saul walks right up to Samuel and goes, you know where the seer is? And he goes, I am the seer. Saul, nice to meet you. The new king. Saul's freaking out. So he sends him up to have dinner. Oh my gosh. You feel Saul's heart beating? The seer just names him and says, your donkeys are fine, honey. Now go eat because I got something to tell you. I got something that's going to rock your world. You're going to be surprised, you know, and he's there eating. He's probably shaken. This is the most famous man of God on the earth is having dinner. And then guess what he does? Oh, my God, my God. Chapter 10, verse 1, then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance when thou art departed from me this day? And then he goes and lists a series of events that are going to happen, and everything the prophet says comes to pass, and Saul is overwhelmed with the abundant, surprising power of God. God has a power to surprise you, sweetheart. Just when you think you've got it all down. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. There's nothing new under the sun. That's true. Under the sun of this world with its own ingenuity. But when God steps into your life, he can intersect your mundane 9 to 5 with circumstances that will flip everything on its head. Saul's going, a king? We've never had a king, because I know you're the first king. Well, but what's a king do? It's all right, go home. He anoints him with oil, and he says, just meditate on this a bit. He sends this boy home to his daddy. He just left a day before or so chasing donkeys. Now his dad comes out, and this boy holds a secret in his heart that he really can't tell everybody. I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the king. There's going to be a king. There's no king in Israel. I know there's never been a king in Israel, but the Lord surprises his own in every generation by doing things that are off the charts. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm promising that you're going to be extensively famous and everybody's going to know who you are. No, we're all famous intensively to everyone around our lives. They're all watching you. Friends and enemies alike, they're all watching you. Some want you to fall. Some want you to make it. But I want you to know God loves to just wipe his kids out with a shock. What? Yes, surprise. Something that makes a strong impression. Yeah, I think so. Bombshell, jaw dropper, jolt, stunner, kicker, marvel, a new wrinkle. Yes. Confusion, bewilderment. Can you imagine? There was a holy confusion. A king. What's a king? We don't ever have a king. Yeah. God goes, surprise. I want you to prepare your heart and your personal life to have room for the expectation and hope that God's going to surprise you with joy. He's going to do something for you, something you can't manage, something outside of your own ability to manipulate or control or cajole or to twist or to, you know, most of our prayers are witchcraft. My kingdom come, my will be done in Jesus' name. Oh, let me read some Bible verses to back it up. Hold on. God, I'm quoting your word to you, and I've used your holy name, so we think we've got the Lord's arm right up behind his back. Come on. The name of Jesus. Oh. Lord's going, oh, you got me. Craig, you got me. Prayer is not a means by which we get our will done in heaven. It's a means through which God gets his will done on earth. Let him surprise you. Now the people cried before him. They said, the Philistines are going to kill us. He said, I heard your heart. I got a guy, and he's so shocked right now. So guess what he does now? Hold on. So get ready for surprises. God can still do surprising things. Now I want to read in chapter 10, verse 20. Listen, and when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel. So now he's personally prophesied Saul's going to be king. Saul is shocked. He's got a few days to figure this out because now there's going to be a public announcement of his kingship. And I want you to see the next principle after donkeys and destiny, after chasing donkeys and getting ready to the place of understanding that no matter what we think, God's still at work and he's still able to surprise his people. Here's the second thing that I want you to see in the message today. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. This is the smallest tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? This is the little baby tribe. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul the son of Kish was taken. And then they sought him, and he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord said, behold, he has hid himself among the stuff. This tall, anointed, called man has gone and burrowed himself into the baggage truck, and he's hiding. And without divine assistance, they don't know who he is. This guy started well. He's hiding. Of course he's hiding. He's going to be king of what? He's probably going to the bathroom all over himself. He's probably already thrown up in the baggage. This guy is really aware that no one's expecting such a surprise. The other nations of the world are surprised. All the tribes are surprised because they didn't get picked. And little Benjamin. And now you see where they're casting lots. You know, love, when it looks sometimes like it's just chance. It looks sometimes like things are just happening in your life without any providential design. Don't you believe it for a minute. As one of God's children, you have to know even chasing donkeys will lead you to your destiny. And when you get to your destiny, it's all right if you try to avoid it for a while. Hiding in the stuff. What kind of stuff can you hide in? What kind of stuff can you hide in? Well, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff in your life that can keep you just hidden because it's just too overwhelming. It's too overwhelming. When I was a little boy, the Lord spoke to me when I was very little. And I wasn't frightened, like afraid, scared, but I was awestruck. I was dumbstruck. I was surprised. This overwhelming presence, this beautiful presence. Amazing feeling of warmth, and you know, but it was overwhelming as well. I was surprised, shocked, alarmed, disturbed, and I ran in the house and I ran and hid under the bed like I'd really thrown him off my trail. And look where you're hiding the stuff you're hiding in. You think God doesn't see me? He doesn't know where I am. I'm way back in the corner here. And no one knows love. Honey, he knows where you are. And he understands that you've been hiding, because it is a little bit disconcerting to feel that the Lord may use you, or he may do something in your life that would surprise you, or cause you to really have to change your focus. He goes, I just want you to know, baby, I know where you're hiding. No one else may. But you see, God's people are a people that if they have a fear and a respect and a reverence for the Lord, it's going to be scary to step out into a new day. You see, it's just been Saul, the son of Kish. Now he's the king. What does that look like? No one knows. He's writing a history that's never been written before. And I believe that you are living a history that's never been written before. And it's happening one step at a time. And if you think that you can hide from it, let me just tell you, God knows right where you are. Nobody else does. Where is Craig, for heaven's sakes? Where is he anyway? He's in the stuff over there. He's in that stuff. I don't know what stuff you're hiding behind, but you know, the Lord calls you forward. There's a thing called a fear of failure, but there's also a thing called a fear of success. Because the more successful you are, the more responsibility you have, and the more you have responsibility, that gives you the gift of greater responsibility. And so sometimes we can sabotage our own success in life. But it doesn't matter, even if you're hiding in some stuff. The Lord knows where you are, and he's going to tell everybody how to find you. So don't worry. Sometimes it's good to make God come and get you rather than trying to, in your own strength and ability, work something. You know, I call it seduction. Here's my card with my picture on it. You need me at your conference. You need the man of God. Nobody needs me for anything unless I'm under the anointing. God can come and get you. He's hiding in the stuff. Yeah, I'm saying it with a smile. I think it's cute. Because he started well in humility. Wish he would have stayed that humble the rest of his life. He's in the stuff. Oh, look at that. Big old man thinks he can hide from God. And so he tells him, he goes, he's in the stuff. And now a crowd. Saul's in there thinking he's pulled this thing off. And now the crowd's all out there. Hail, God save the king. You know, it's like the sword and the stone, little Arthur. God save the king. I think he was surprised, and we have to prepare for the element of surprise, because our donkeys are leading us to a destiny, and it's a destiny that involves changing paradigms in our mind. God can get you where you need to be without your help at all. You say, what does that mean? I just sit home on the couch? No, just keep taking one step at a time. God can't steer a parked car. Just get the thing and drive and get moving. He'll take it over. He'll take you over. He'll take your life over. If the majority of your life has had nothing to do with God happening in your life, it doesn't matter. In one day, those donkeys can lead you up to Samuel. And you say, I'm surprised. Didn't think I'd be a king. See, it's time for us to let the donkeys be and focus on the main thing, which is our kingly responsibility in Christ to move forward in the destiny he's called us to. You know, let the donkeys be handled by people that handle donkeys. You be about the king's business. It was time for Saul to wake up and stand up. And he was tall, by the way. He was very tall. In a generation of really short guys, he stuck out. That's why later in his life, it's sort of funny, the only man tall enough to go against Goliath would have been Saul. We're looking at the fact that the man started well, but these timeless truths of a surprising God, a God who surprises us with joy, still stand. Donkeys lead to destiny. So here's what it means. Sometimes you get so enamored with this world and just surviving that you just forget that there's anything beyond survival. You're in that mode of just surviving. But you know what? God is always able to surprise us. And it doesn't require you praying more and believing more and getting on your spiritual bicycle and pedaling harder and going to 14 prayer seminars where you now have a PhD in prayer and a black belt in prayer. And let's, yeah, all right. No, just hide in your basket. Hide with the stuff. God's got an x-ray machine. He knows where you are. And he knows why you're where you are. And he sure knows how to get you. Right? He brought this man out. They pulled him out of the cart. And he went before the people of God. And all of them said, God save the king. That phrase had never existed in the history of Israel. Oh, he can still surprise you. He can do something in your life, but it will happen in the course of your daily normal 9-to-5 when you're following donkeys somewhere. And all of a sudden, stupefaction, confusion, bewilderment. You know, God can actually bring someone into your life that can change your life. It doesn't take 10. It could be one email, one hug, one handshake, one phone call. He's in charge of everything. And even when you think you know who you are, this is my birth order, this is my temperament type, and these are my talents and my gifts, and these are my inherent spiritual gifts, and therefore I am, learn all that, baby. Learn all that. Follow those donkeys to every seminar you can. But here, you're going to wind up somewhere where you're surprised to be there. It's like, huh, well, it's very surprising. Yeah, let me just give you the word. It's surprising who you'll meet. It's surprising where you will meet who you will meet. I've met people on airplanes that have changed my life. You never know. See, to me, the older I get, the more everything's a divine appointment. When I go to Vaughn's in my weird looking, when I'm wearing my Crocs and my shorts and my Kobe t-shirt, I'm in covert action. Pushing a handicapped boy in a wheelchair, and I said to Shannon, I don't think I'm as invisible as I perceive myself to be. She goes, glad you got that. I thought I was hiding in the stuff. I've got like a spotlight on me. Anyway, he can surprise even you, and it's all right. It's all right. Stay in the stuff. He'll pull you out of the back. You know, sometimes we need to make God come and get us. We need to really let him take us where we can't participate in that at all. You know, he does that all through the Bible. Remember Moses is 80 years of age, and he sees a burning bush that's on fire but not being consumed, and he says, I will turn aside and see this great surprise. You're going to lead my people, go down and tell Pharaoh to let all of his slave industry go. Surprise! He's 80. His life's pretty much over. He's got nothing. Remember Saul of Tarsus, who breathed out threatenings against the church and was torturing the Christian church, and he comes to the road to Damascus and meets Christ. Surprise! Saul becomes Paul, and the persecutor of the church becomes the father of the church and writes 2/3 of the books in the New Testament. God knows how to turn your donkey chase into a destiny reality. Loved one, hold on. He can surprise you. Now, when you're done doing all your, you know, on your treadmill, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to do it my way. The best laid hopes of plans, mice and men, and not all your plans stink, but he just doesn't need them. Isn't that comforting? At the end of the day, he's God, and you didn't have to pray your way in. Hey, praise God, I pulled this thing off. He's moving serendipitously when you're too tired to pray and you're sick of praying and you just lay down in the bag with all your stuff. That's when he goes, all right, now the whole thing turns around. When you keep giving up, when you totally give up and die to that whatever it is that you want, and then you I'm just dying to this. God goes, oh, bless you. I'm Almighty God. I'm all powerful, but I'm getting exhausted listening to this whining. Remember, a whine is anger escaping from a very small hole. Surprise. Loved one, he can still do it. Donkeys lead to destinies, and God is at work even when you don't see him. And it's okay to hide in the basket of stuff because he will come and get you. And there's something delicious about God really coming to get you. You know, I there's certain things in my life I've hoped for until I can't hope. I've hoped beyond hope. I feel like Abraham. The Bible says he's 90 years old and he's still hoping against human possibility that he's going to have a son. And his name is changed to Abraham, father of a multitude. This guy without one kid is called and greeted as, hey, father of a multitude, how you doing? And everybody's going, you know, how's it going? Any good news on the horizon there? They're mocking him. His name mocks him. the status of his own reality mocks him. Every time he looks in the mirror, father of a multitude, looks at the stars in the sky and the sand of the sea, father of a multitude. Yeah, I'll get right on that. You know, the Lord can handle your sarcasm. He can handle your unbelief. He really can. And he can really surprise you with joy, like he did Saul. I believe with all my heart that we're on the brink of something that we can't quantify, we can't qualify, we can't give a blueprint, because there is no such thing. It's never been done before. I remember one man that died and went to heaven. Boy, that's getting popular, isn't it? Everybody's dying. Every other person I mean is dying and going to heaven, even some people in other religions that I've heard stories about. But, you know, I don't always take extra biblical literature too seriously. But one theme I have heard that I think is probably right is there are things in heaven we can't even conceive of. Paul says, I saw things unutterable. I can't even put into language what I saw. And the God who can store up a heaven that is so amazing, words can't even convey. You just have to be there. Some things you just have to be there. You can't even describe it. Description is a ruins it. That God who made heaven is the one who's sovereignly guiding your life right now and directing your steps right now. You know, the children of Israel, when God would move, would always build an altar or put up a pillar. The reason we need to do that is we forget. Unless you journal every day over the last 5 years, you have not been able to have any means to connect the dots of when God comes through for you. Because see, you're alive now because he's kept you to this very hour, right? He's never not provided for you, or you wouldn't be here right now. You're still alive. There's hope for you. Better is a living dog than a dead lion. A dead lion looks majestic from a distance. What an excellent plumage. What a majestic creature. He's dead, but a chihuahua for Jesus. Praise God. He's alive. You're still alive, little chihuahua. There's hope for you. Your donkeys are leading you to a destiny. And it's going to be something that's going to really just make your paradigm level, the way you think and perceive things, your world and life view, it's going to alter it. That's what God loves to do. And you know what? Hey, Abraham's 90, Moses is 80, I'm 55. I'm a Greek god amidst these biblical figures still in my youth. Can you imagine with your capacity for fantasy that he does exceeding abundantly above and beyond anything you could ask or think about? Now that, Ephesians 3:20, it presses me a little bit, because I got a heck of a capacity to fantasize. And whatever I come up with, he's got me above and beyond. Okay. Well, I'll take that one by faith. But you know what? He is starting to surprise me. It's a kind of feeling that you're stupefied, petrified. You pinch yourself. Psalm 126 says, when the Lord turned our captivity in Zion, we were as them that dreamed. You have to pinch yourself. Is this happening? No, that can't have happened. No. Am I here? Is this going? Surprised by joy. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a surprise around the corner for your baby right now. I speak a spirit of surprised people, Lord. I pray right now that you would overwhelm us, that you would subdue all of our need to hide in the baskets and hide in the stuff and isolate ourselves away from the world. Thank you that you understand that, but that time is coming to an end and you're going to come and get us. Thank you that you're a God that came and got Saul and brought him in to his missionary journeys. Thank you that you're the God who went and got little David with the sheep and you brought him in to feast at the table with Samuel. Thank you, Lord, that you went and you got Moses and you got Joseph and you pulled him out of that prison and you brought him up to the prominence of Pharaoh's palace. Lord, you are able to come and get your babies. And thank you that wherever it is we may be hiding and whatever the stuff and baggage we might be hidden in right now, you know where we are and you are not shocked. Oh Lord, we do ask you to so thoroughly provide an opportunity for us to be brought out of the baggage truck. And we can wipe the dust off of our clothes and straighten our posture a little bit and move forward in a new life with new hope. Surprise us, Lord. For those of us that have become overwhelmed with cynicism, skepticism, thinking all we're made to do is chase donkeys going nowhere, surprise us, Lord. Let's go to the table of the Lord right now, Dennis. If you could just maybe at home grab some elements here and we'll have communion together. Can we go to God's table today with a point of contact, of saying, Lord, I'm going to let you surprise me. I'm going to open my heart and dare to believe that you can do something for me that will move it from being always winter and never Christmas to a Christmas season of blessing. You look at the age that you are now and you cynically look at all that you've done or all that you failed to do. God is still not finished with your future. He still has you right on time. You'll wind up exactly where you need to be. So let's get the elements here. And the Lord Jesus said, this is my blood of the new covenant. And as often as you drink it, you remember me. We remember Jesus, our covenant Lord, our beloved, who hears our cries and our pleas to be delivered from the Philistines. He hears your cries, but he hears you as we hear a little baby's concerns. With a smile and a love in his heart for you, he says, oh, I know you're hiding in the baggage. I'll get you. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. And today we need God's forgiveness. Lord, forgive us today for becoming cynical and skeptical and dull-witted, believing that there's nothing in the big black bag for us, that everybody else gets something, and I can believe for everybody else, but I cannot believe for myself. Cleanse us today according to this word, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's partake. Forgive us of our unbelief and doubt. Forgive us of our horizontal vision, Lord, that cannot see that a sovereign God marks our way. Cleanse us and forgive us for our doubt. We look to you and we trust you, God of surprises. And he took the bread and he broke it. Let's break that bread. This is his body that was broken for you. It represents healing for your mind, your body, your emotions. Let's ask for healing now. Let's partake. Lord Jesus, where we have even inflicted self-sabotage on our own lives as we've hidden in baskets and carts with stuff, trying to avoid the overwhelming sense of the destiny you have for us, or even being daring to trust you, we ask you to forgive us and cleanse us and empower us, Lord. Heal us of even self-inflicted wounds. And now, Lord, I pray a sense of peace that passes understanding for everyone under the sound of my voice. May you have peace, darling. May you know your donkeys are leading you to your destiny. May you know that it's a paradigm shift that's going to be overwhelming, and it's okay that you haven't known what it is before now. He knows what it is. He'll come and get you. Lord, thank you right now for the confidence that you'll walk right up to the baggage where we are, and you'll tap us on the shoulder, and you'll reach in like we do to a little child and pull us up out and put us on a new road. New relationships, new friendships, new opportunities, new doors. Thank you, Jesus. You are the one who holds the key of David, and every door you lock stays locked forever, and every door you unlock is unlocked forever. Let us hear that key locking things and unlocking things. And Jesus, I pray for presents that are special, gifts for my loved ones here under the sound of my voice that will blow their minds. God who surprises, something that makes a strong impression because it's so unexpected. The bombshell, the jaw-dropping jolt, the stunner, the thunderclap, the shock, the eye-opener, the kicker, the shocker, the twist, the wrinkle, the bolt from out of the blue. Being strongly impressed by something unexpected or unusual, amazement, astonishment, shock, startlement, stupefaction, awe, wonder, wonderment, startle, bewilderment, confusion, consternation, discomfiture, dismay, ambushment. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would capture our hearts and our lives. You're just the right age, sweetheart. You're right on time. You haven't lost a thing. You've gained everything. Father, thank you for lifting the countenance of your children who have entered your house and are going out with their heads lifted high. Oh Lord, tonight let us go out to the stars and walk and be reminded that we cannot count them because your thoughts towards us are overwhelming and innumerable. And if they're depressed, Lord, let them see the sand. They cannot count the grains of sand. He's a mighty God, and he loves you. And you know what heaven is? Heaven is an eternity of God going, look at this. And you go, wow. And you go, you think that's something? Look at this. Wow. And you think that's something? Look at this. Forever and ever and ever. Oh, surprising God, surprise us now. Even before the year is over and the new year comes, make a way for your babies. Make a way, Lord. Let everybody have their little Christmas blessings. Bedeck the tree with ornaments and gifts. There's a surprise ahead for you. Old man, old lady, young man, young woman. He loves to surprise his own. If we, being earthly fathers, know how to give good gifts to our babies, how much more will the Father give gifts to those who trust him? How much more? God loves you more than you love your children. He's not finished with you. He's not. He's planning. He's having secret meetings in heaven, planning your blessing. Oh, praise his name. Can you say amen to that in Jesus' name? Oh, God bless you. The Lord bless you and keep you. God bless you. Bless his name. Go ahead and pass those elements back to Dennis. You remember that song, Betty Davis Eyes? You remember that song? And there was a line in there that said she could make a pro blush. Did you know God can make a pro blush in any area? He can get you where you think you know every, and he goes, wait till you see that. Oh, you think that's something? What about this? See, I try to do that with my kids. Remember when the dollar store was enough and they were too little to real? And then one year Grant came up and said, Daddy, the dollar store thing is over now. I just said, well, what do you mean? Yeah, the dollar store is over now. It doesn't work. Still works with our one. Look at this. Oh, great. Look at that. Oh, great. You know, it'll fall apart in 35 seconds, but it was fun. Joaquin, come on up. God's presence is in this house. He loved you. He's not finished with you. You'd be dead if he was finished with you. And then you get to heaven. What's the big deal? What's so bad about? Everybody's talking about heaven. Nobody wants to go.
It's a two-part deal today. Most of the part two, Craig already said, but he called me up here, so I'll say the same thing in a different way. The first part, though, I don't know, maybe it's for everybody. Maybe it's for someone, or maybe it's for me. Maybe it's something I ain't done yet. I feel like maybe sometimes we do things that hurt people, and but we, our heart was right. And maybe you're beating yourself up about something you did that someone took the wrong way. And there's like a thing between you and that person now. I just feel the Lord would say that that don't worry, that things are going to be okay, that he's talking to that person on your behalf. And there's going to be a resolution. Your heart was pure, and just sometimes stuff happens. And he's thankful for you. God is thankful for his people. And just like you get together with family and someone cooks a meal, and you hug each other and you say good things to each other, I feel God is going to do that to you. And as Craig said, I believe he has gifts. I don't think it's used anymore, but there was this symbol, I think, either of the pilgrims or of Thanksgiving, this thing called a cornucopia, which is like a horn with fruit and things in it. And so it's a thing that is laid out and spills. Come on. So it's not one gift. It's gift after gift, one falling and spilling over the other. And he knows the desires of your heart. He put them there. So who better to fulfill those desires than him? So, and I stand with Craig in faith that this will come to pass before year's end. It seems like time always goes quicker towards the end of the year. And maybe it's just because our plate is more full, so we have less time to think and ponder. My prayer, and I feel God will do this if we ask him to, my prayer is that he slow time down between now and the end of the year so that we can enjoy and fully experience those gifts which he has. So, Lord, I ask you to make that happen in your son's name.
Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and attention. And if you want to find out about further resources, go to drcraigjohnson.net. If you have a prayer request, you can leave it there. And also, we would encourage you, if this ministry is a blessing to you, we survive solely on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. So there's a donate page, drcraigjohnson.net. God bless you and yours.